Today's daf in Masechet Nidah brought to you from Johannesburg is daf Tet. And we're holding on daf Chet Amud Beit. We had started the sugya that was about bringing a raya from the posuk that 3 months is the shear of Akarat Ubar. So because of that, we already bring a similar drasha that has to do with a zecher ledover, not a raya ledover, which also relates to the concepts of Leida and Nida. So we're up to 5 lines up on the bottom of Amud Beit, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, Aresha Hayta B'Cheskat Meuberet, V'Ra'ot Adam, a woman appears to be pregnant, and we're expecting her to deliver, and she actually has a few days of bleeding, and then she delivers, but the problem is, it turns out to be false pregnancy, or maybe she was pregnant with something, but it wasn't something that would normally count as a regular pregnancy, called a Vasheino Shel Kayama, something that is not considered to be a Vlad. The din is that Arebe Cheskata, Vedaya Shata, that even though this wasn't a real delivery, you would say, nonetheless, we don't say that the Dam that she had seen before is now retroactively clear to have been not the Dam of Leida, and not the dam that was coming because of the need for delivery, it was just dam nidot. We still say that that dam is dayashata, and anyway, anything that was before the 24 hours, during that 24-hour period, which if it wouldn't be dam leida, would in fact have been metamile mafreya, we don't say that. So that even though lemaisa, she's tmeya, obviously, from this dam, but we don't give it the din of meyet leit of Adida. So in other words, Lagabi meyet leit, we're treating her as if she was really pregnant. The afop she'ein ra'ya ledavar, even though we don't have a clear-cut proof that this is so from the Torah, but we have an indication, zecher ledavar, because it says, harinu chalnu kumo yaladnu ruach, that here we were pregnant, we went through all the pain of pregnancy and delivery, and it turns out that all along we were filled with just air. Says Igmar, what do you mean? So then it's a really a raya. Why are you saying it's a zecher ledavar? Hare raya gedolai? It says that we were pregnant and delivered just a sack of air. Well, I mean, you could say that it's a raya ledavar, except for a minor problem, that it's referring to males, not females, and therefore it's clearly metaphorical. And so the metaphor may extend to the idea of it's like a leida. Obviously, it doesn't mean real pregnancy or real leida. But since the metaphor is usually consistent with reality, so memela zech ledavar certainly is. Because kiktiv haikrob is zechori modiktiv v'raminit. And we have a problem with this. The problem is that let's say that a woman had been rei adam during her pregnancy and then had become tahora, and now she was during the 11 days of Ziva. And what happened is she starts now to bleed together with her labor, and she's kishtat shenayim. On the third day, she's continuing to bleed. And when she delivers, it turns out that she did not deliver a real fetus. So he pila ruach or kol davar sheino shel kayama. Harei zo yoledet bizov. She is considered to be a zava, and for 7 nikiyim, she's not going to be able. Unless she keeps shivas nikiyim, she's not going to be able to be mit taheret, despite the fact that all of this bleeding was bleeding that was associated with the delivery. So obviously, since we know, yes, the Gemara, that if it would be a real leida, yes, the Gemara, iamet leida mal yatahi, then the din is that bleeding that is somuch leida, rachmana tiare, we're going to see later on, that the Torah considers bleeding that's associated with delivery as not dam zivas, and it will not turn her into a zava. And you're claiming that this type of false pregnancy is nonetheless the same din as a pregnancy. So if that's the case, how could you say that she's going to be Tamea Bezivas? Umra Papi, I didn't even understand your question. All we said before is that we're claiming that Legabi, the din of the Eit Le'eit, which remember is a Chumra, the Rabbanan B'Yamad, isn't really an indication of any realities, Legabi Tum. So we're saying Legabi, the Eit Le'eit, she was not mit Tamei L'mafreya. That's all we said. Didn't say she wasn't Tameya. Obviously, she was Tameya. So over here, that Dom that was Tameya is indeed Dom Zivais. We never suggested that a non-Leda turns the Dom into the Kershi Samach LaLeda. It's irrelevant. Rav Papa, my Rav Papa says it's not. It's not irrelevant. The point over here is because midihu time el b'shem derosh kaved aleha ve'evarim evareha kvedim aleha. You're right. A Leda, it's not. But it's not that we arbitrarily said, okay, let's pretend it's a Leda, Lagabi Daya Shaita. Lagabi Daya Shaita really is a Leda. Why? Because the point of Daya Shaita is the whole idea is that we assume that her Damim are Mesulakim. Why? Because of the impact hormonally on her body. That's the point. So she is now a pregnant woman. Pregnant woman is not completely functional. And therefore, we assume that since she's feeling heavy, she's feeling not completely vital, she's like really worn out, she's got headaches. So because of that, we consider Damea Mesulaki. And therefore, if she bled, it's got to be the last possible time. There's no reason to assume that she was bleeding earlier. So if that's the case, what do I care whether it's a false pregnancy or a real pregnancy? In terms of the hormonal response, it's exactly the same. You're telling me, Lagabi, the Torah's din of whether this is Dam Leda or Dam Kshi Samach LaLeda, that it's not considered Leda. Well, obviously not. That's a new halacha that has to do with the definition of Leda. But as far as the question of whether we should assume that because of the fact that she's not fully functional, we should not assume that she's going to be bleeding earlier, that's still true. Who cares what she's pregnant with? So, Akinami Rosha, Ve'evarel Kvetin Aleha. And therefore, even though this Hirayon is not a real Hirayon, but hormonally, it's a false pregnancy, but it's still a pregnancy hormonally, and therefore that's all we care about. Boimine Rabbi Yermiam Rabbi Zer. What would be the din if we're talking about a mu'uberet? She's ra'ata, and as she is bleeding, the next day she's already hukar ubra while she's bleeding. Now, we said that the din of a mu'uberet is only after 3 months, where it's hukar ubra. But how about if immediately after the bleeding it's hukar ubra? So is that hukar ubra an indication that the time before was already bleeding out of pregnancy because it led directly to hukar ubra? The way the Rashba understands it, it's a 24-hour issue. In other words, we're saying that the zman itself, it's not an instantaneous change. Is that the heker lets us know that lamaisa, this woman, was pregnant, in which case it's within 24 hours, we should say, that it's bleeding that is coming mitoch the pregnancy, and therefore it would not be metamia lemafreya. So do we say, even to be eaten the chazoy lohu karubra metamia? Is it that just because at the very time that she was bleeding, we didn't note that she was pregnant, therefore it's tamia lemafreya, or do we say, since it's evident right after this event that she is pregnant, so that pregnancy is not instantaneous, it must have been at the time. Omar le, isn't the issue of pregnancy not a question of something that is arbitrarily defined? The reason that we consider a pregnancy to change the din of Daya Shaita versus the Tamim Eit Le'eit is because of the reality that when a woman reaches a particular stage of pregnancy, she's just no longer able to really be herself hormonally. She's a nut, and she's weak, and she's always feeling sick, and so on. So over here, when we're giving this year of 3 months, it's not because we have to know. It's because that point is the point where she really breaks down. And at this point, you can expect that there's not going to be any kind of bleeding earlier. So over here, since it's be'idna dechazoi, ein rosha kaved aleha, as I mentioned to you, nowadays it's not this way, as we know. Nowadays, we could be makir whether she's pregnant or not earlier also. And all of the modern priests can deal with this issue. Do we actually consider her to be misulek adamim even before not Alpi HaGemara, because of the reality of it. If the svar is that Rosh HaKaved Aleha Ve'Varak Ve'Din Aleha, there's a lot of truths. Ramesh has a lot of truths about whether we need to be stuck with the Gemara's halacha of Shloisha Chadashim, or do we have it in of that she's assumed to be Misalekat Dami? Yeah, right. I have another question, asked the famous old man from Rabbi Yochanan. It might have been Eliyahu Novi, but I mean, would he ask Rabbi Yochanan? Maybe. Higia et vista, bimei ibura velo batka. What would be the din if, let's say, this woman has a period every 3 months that she's roya? Lamaisa, by the time her period time comes around, we could see that she's pregnant, because it's been so long. And now it was the day of her period, and she didn't do her batika. So is it considered to be a chashash that she was roya? Now, obviously, said the old man, we're going to see. There's all my focus later on whether this idea that a veset would be assumed to be batami, a woman, if she wasn't bodeket, we have to assume that she'd been roya dam. That's true according to Madi Omer, who holds that this din of a period is a diraisa aloch, that you're mechuyev to consider that she would be roya. And therefore she must be bodeket on the day of that period, at the time of the period, or else you are going to have to assume that she was roya. So according to that Madi Omer mind, do we say, kiven de vesto diraita boy bedika, and if she wasn't bodeket, we have to be chayshish that she was roya? Dilma, or do we say that this din of the Me'am is Sulakin is a din even in the Diorita? As I understand, all along we've been talking about the assumption that she's not going to be bleeding in terms of Dayashaita. But Dayashaita is a very weak Darabonin problem. Darabonin created this idea of being retroactively Tamei. Obviously, they're going to rely on lesser issues not to be precious for Re'ia that was Me'es Li'es. But how about Lagabi Dioraita? If you hold that Vestota Dioraita, can you rely on Siluk Domim, even Lagabi Dioraita? Or is the Chazok of the Veset a more powerful Chashash than the assumption of her being Mesulek Domim? Odilma given to the man Mesulek, Ilo Boy Badika. Or Malaysa Rabbi Yochanan said, listen, it's easy to see this directly from the Mishnah, Tenitua. Because later on, Rabbi Meir says, Imai Tabe Machba, if this woman is hiding out from the Nazis, and she's in a cellar somewhere, and Higia Shat Vesta Avalobatka, she didn't imagine, she forgot to check herself with the Nazis stumping upstairs, so she didn't see whether she was a neither or not. Doesn't matter. She's Tehora. Why? Because Charadam is Saleket Tatadamim. Because terror makes the woman not responsive to her normal hormones. Now, okay, but what do we see here? That if it wouldn't be for the fact that terror does that, so then Taima, Deika Charada. But if it wouldn't have been for that Charada, then what would we have said? Obviously, we're assuming that Higia Vista, that if it was the time, Volo Batka, she would be Tmeya. So that means that Rabbi Meir is assuming over here that Vestota Dioraita, because he's saying that you'd have to assume Tuma if she hadn't checked. And nonetheless, if she does have Charada, then the fact that we have a Chazaka that people that are terrorized are Mesuleket Damim is enough to take away from the Vestot Dioraita. So if that's the case, same thing is true over here. Even if you don't Vestot Dioraita, we have a right to be Semich, that pregnancy is Mesuleket Damim. It's not different than Charada. There's Uriah. So Alma Vestot Dioraita, and nonetheless, given the Ika Charada, Damea Mesulekin Velo Bai Bedika, that it's considered to be Mesuleket Damim, even Keneget, the Dioraita of the Veset. Hachinami here too, in terms of pregnancy, Damea Mesulekin Velo Bai Bedika. There's my raya. Continues the Mishnah. We have a machloket what the shiur would be of Hanaka. So what would happen if her child died, or she weans the child, or she gives the child over to a wet nurse? So there's a machloket whether, according to Rabbi Meir, so she's not like everybody else, and she's metame mi'es le'es, or, according to the Chachamim, she is going to be Torah really for 24 months, which is the normal time of Hanaka, whether she nurses or doesn't. Tana Rabbanan. So now the Braita explains this machloket more broadly. Menika shemet bena b'tochas 24 chodesh. Someone who is nursing, who loses her child within 24 months and stops nursing. At the point that she stops nursing, arei k'chol hanashim, umetamah mi'et le'et u'b'kida, she's just like anybody else, and she now is going to have to be cheshish for retroactive tuma, which implies that it's the actuality of nursing that is misalik the dummy. Since that would be true, lefichach, if she continues to nurse beyond the 24 months, so then nursing is always misalik dummy, because according to this sheet of Rabbi Meir, the issue is not a particular time, the issue is the fact of nursing. He never mentions a particular time. The moment that she stops nursing, she's going to be Raya. So if she continues nursing, then she's not going to be Raya. Therefore, even if she continues to nurse for 4 or 5 years, it's still Daya Shaita. Because this follows consistently with the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, this is very contemporary, relevant. As you know, the latest outcry over the Time magazine cover with the Hanukkah. You know, that is, man, oh man, you guys live in a normal country. A normal country. I mean, Time magazine actually had a horrifically pornographic picture of a 3-year-old nursing, which brought such a storm of protest. You know, because this is the latest thing that you allow your child to buy. It's all this. All this. Huh? Can hear. Yeah, the child sleeps in your bed. These are some of my kids. It's like 4 years, 5 years. Yes, awful. Like a tree grows in Brooklyn. Remember that scene, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn? The woman Bishumov and could not get her kid to stop nursing. She drew a picture of an enormous monster around her nipple. That was the end. Anyway, so therefore, even according to Rabbi Meir, even 4 or 5 years, it would still be considered to be misalik damim, and she would be dayashat to the Rabbi Meir. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, that the idea is whether she's nursing or not, it's a hormonal issue. And Dayan Sha'atan Kolasrim Arba Chodesh, it's a din of 24 months. Up until that time, she's not going to get back into her normal menses. Lefichach, imaitamini kato, but it therefore follows that the nursing per se is not the point. So she continues to nurse for 4 or 5 years. It doesn't matter. If it's beyond the 24 months, then she's not going to be misuleket damim just because lamaisa she's nursing. And then she'll be metamer retroactively, mi'et li'et, umipkida lipkida. Now, kishitim tzalomar, when you get to the bottom of this issue, the way to express the difference between the two shitot is that what Rabbi Meir is saying is that for all intents and purposes, the blood that would have been used for nursing, for menses, has turned into milk. So if that's the case, then only so long as she's actually going to be utilizing the energy for the milk, do we have any reason to say that she's misulek and dummy. But the moment that she doesn't, so then she'll get back to herself earlier. It's not going to be something that's programmed into her overall responsiveness. So we look at the blood as turning into milk. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, it has nothing to do with milk at all. The point is that in order to have menses, you need to have a body that is under hormonal control, and a woman who gives birth, she falls apart. She doesn't get back to herself for 24 months. And therefore, what does that have to do? It has nothing to do with nursing. It has to do with the fact of birth. It's just that we use nursing as a symbol of that period because usually it's a 24-month period. So we're saying if she's a meineket, then meaning if she's still within 24 months of birth, so then she's misulek et dami. Absolutely no connection to nursing.
And if she does see the tongue?
No, that's tummy. Yeah. Now, why does it have to say, and therefore? I understand. What do you mean, and therefore? Isn't that obvious? If Rabbi Meir is saying that the issue is we have to look at the blood as now having been recycled, in a sense, into chalav, and that she no longer has available that energy to bleed. So then it's obvious that as long as that's going on, she's not going to be assumed to be bleeding. So why do we have to say that? Well, we have to say it because we need to explain the implications of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon's statement, right? So lefichach, he's going to have to say lefichach, as we'll discuss in a moment. So if we have to say lefichach for Rabbi Yossi, we keep it parallel and we say, look, so this is the implication. Lefichach alibad Rabbi Meir X, and lefichach alibad Rabbi Yossi minus X. But I don't understand. Why do we need the lefichach of Rabbi Yossi? It also follows. If Rabbi Yossi is saying that it has nothing to do with nursing, and that it's just a way of referencing the 24 months, so then obviously, you're telling me that it's a question of Avraham mit Parakat. So then why do I need to say it? Because, I might have thought that Rabbi Yossi holds of the impact of both of these things. In other words, let's say she falls apart, you're saying. So hormonally, she doesn't get back to herself. But if you start nursing during that period and continue nursing, who's to say that then you will get back to yourself and that will be enough for you to start bleeding again? Maybe because you're nursing, you will extend it, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, you're going to include Rabbi Meir in his svara. He's not saying only 24 months. That's what I might have thought. He's not saying only 24 months. He's saying for sure 24 months. Okay, but if it goes on, maybe there's the impact of the nursing itself. So therefore, I need to speak out that this is the fact. According to him, after 24 months, she's not considered to be misuleket tamim. Because of that, and therefore, once I needed to explain it in him, so I explained it already in Rabbi Meir, just to point out how different the two shitot are. Tanya Namiyaki, and there's a bright that actually expresses it that way, so that you can see instantly what the svaras are. So, according to Rabbi Meir, says the Braita, Dam ne'echar v'naaseh chalav. We view the blood as having been itself utilized in the making of the milk, which means that the moment I don't need to make milk, I'm going to have to assume that the body will now get back to its normal cycle. So, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the problem is that Evareha mit parkin, she falls apart. Ve'in nafsha chozeret aleha ad esmi arba chodesh. Om Rabbi Loi, I could show you where Rabbi Meir actually is samech on the Tanakh to say that we should look at it that way, that the blood is now utilized for milk. Because it says in the Pasuk in Iyov, Mi yitain tahor mitame. Who is it that can take something which is tameh and turn it into one of the purest things we can imagine? Is it not lo echad? Is it not the one, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because in the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no tameh v'tahor. So this means it's a direct expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where things, we view them as being very, very much differentiated, because everything in our mind is dualistic. But to the Echad, what's the difference? You take the dam, you turn it into chalav. Oh, that's interesting. So what are the Rabban, and how do they understand that pasuk? Rabbi Yochanan, semen. Here you have something that is tamei, an avatuma, and it creates the purest thing that you can think of, this beautiful little baby. So that's the same thing. This shechvazer is tamei. The human that is not sarmimenu is tahar. Rabbi Eliezer says, and this is referring to the paraduma, the mehanida. Mehanida is the sprinkling water of the paraduma. Where over there the halacha is that hamazev hamazina love tahar, the guy who's doing the actual sprinkling and the guy on whom it is sprinkled are tahorim, but somebody who touches the mayim will be tamei. So therefore, mi yitain tamei. Who is tahor mitamei? Here you have something that clearly is mitamei people, and that very thing is mitayer people. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wait a minute, says the Gemara, but that isn't true. How can you say that? The mazeh is tahor. The pasuk says beferish. Umazeh mehanida yechabez begadav. So how can you say tahor? No. Mazeh means hanogeya. The pasuk doesn't mean the guy who sprinkles his tummy. How could it? It says vihizo hatahor al hatame. So if the Torah is calling the guy who's doing the sprinkling tahor, how can you think that when it says hamazeh yechabez begadav, that means literally hamazeh? It must mean somebody who's nogea. What do you mean, it must mean somebody who's nogea? What's the matter with you? It says hanogea separately in the pasuk. Mazeh me'anida yechabez begadav, v'hanogea b'me'anida yitmah. How could they both be the same thing? That makes no sense. V'aktiv mazeh v'aktiv nogea. And not to mention the fact that, by the way, they don't even have the same halacha. Don't try to tell me a mazeh is a nogea. By the mazeh, it says, yichabez begadav, she's betami, even is begunim. And by the nogea, it just says, yitma the arav, he's not betami begunim. So it's certainly not the same thing. The old mazeh boy kibbutz begadim. He has to put his begadim into the mikvah also. Whereas an ogeh b'me'an he does only itmarar without being metame begadim. It contrasts it. So the two dinim are obviously cannot be equated to say it really means the same thing. If they're mentioned separately and they're given different laws, that's outrageous to make such a suggestion. Okay, I didn't mean ogeh. Elamai mazeh no say. What it means is that the nosei me'anida has to be mechabes begadav. That's the point. Nogea does not have to be mechabes begadav. I understand. So then, I mean, if you're going to be talking about nogea, then why do you write mazeh? Why don't you write hanosei? I mean, you're talking about hanogea. Nosei is always used in the Torah. Ah, because kamash malan, that unless you have a shiur of hazaya, you are not considered to be a nosei, will be matame begadav. That's the point. So in order to explain that, it's simply, instead of using the word nosei, it writes the word mazeh, and then I know, well, it can't possibly be mazeh, if it says vizah ta'or ala tameh, must mean that the amount of water required for hazaya, if I carry that, then I'm going to be more tame than a nogeya. Wait a minute. But not everybody agrees that there is even such a concept of the requiring a shiur for hazaya. So, it's all very nice if you hold that there's a particular amount of water that you need to do the act of hazaya, right? But according to Rabbi Yomar, who says hazaya does not require a shiur, then there's no excuse for calling a nosei a maaseh. Michael Amemar, says the Gemara, you don't understand. The machlokas about whether hazaya tzrich hashiur is a question of whether a certain amount of water has to touch the object of the hazaya. But everybody agrees that you need a certain amount of water to do the act of hazaya. That's for sure. So says the Gemara, afilam adyamin tzrich hashiur, hanimile agaba de gavra. That's only the amount of water that ends up touching the person that is getting the hazaya. Avo b'mana, in the container that holds the me'anida, into which I dip the hyssop, the ezov, everybody is made that, of course, be'ina shiur. And that's a beferish mishnah, kid, it's not. Kama yiyubam ayin v'yebem k'dei hazaya. How much water is considered to be sufficient to do a hazaya for the paraduma, in order that there should be enough to get the tips of the seed pods on the hips hyssop covered with the water, and then even after they absorb a certain amount of the water, there should be enough water that something comes out of them when you sprinkle the yazet. That's definitely a shear. If you don't have that amount of medida and you carry it, it's not going to be matamiyu. But if you touch it, it will be matamiyu. That's the reason for nogeya, use the word mazeh. And for nogeya, I mean, for nosei, use the word mazeh. And for nogeya, just says nogeya. V'ayinu d'yama shlomo. And it's about that that Shlomo HaMelech said, amarti achkama v'rechoka mimeni. I thought I could make sense of everything. But it does not make sense to me that the same amount of water for the guy who's actually holding the ezov and sprinkling it on a guy, there it says v'zator. But if I carry that amount of water to the guy that's going to be using it, dam tame, that makes no sense to me. So that's the mi yitain tohar mi tame, alo echad. Ezoi zekeina. Next thing we said was that according to the Tanna Kamma, a postmenopausal woman is a woman who misses three periods close to the time of the age at which we would expect her to stop having her menses. But it doesn't say what that age is. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's any time a woman of any age skips her period three times until such time as it restarts, she's considered to be selected dummy. That was the machlok that we had in the Mishnah. But you didn't explain yourself, asked Gemara. What do you mean when you say samuch lazik nata? I mean, menopause is so variable that it's clearly not that linked directly to a particular age. So what do you mean when you say ziknata? Echidami samuch laziknata. Rav Yehuda, you're right. Age is itself, aging is variable. But aging shows. So the point is, when your friends start calling you Bubby, then you know it's pretty close to menopause if it hasn't happened, right? So it's koshe chavrotah. When all of her friends talk about the old lady, Rabbi Shimon Aimer, well, no, that's not the point. The point is where they actually relate to her as an old lady. So they call her Ima. Ima. Ima is what they used to call, you know, like the blacks do, right? It's like Mama. So Mama is already older, an older woman. Ve'ena Bosha, and she's not embarrassed, like, you know, this is me. Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak say, well, wait a minute. One of them, we don't know who says what, but one of them says, it isn't a function of her not being embarrassed. It's a function of her not being makpedet. She's not makpedet. She doesn't say, stop calling me Ima. Ve'chanem ha'koshena Bosha. The other one says that she doesn't feel embarrassed by it. The difference is that Ike Binayu, if she is embarrassed, but she's not makpedes. So in other words, she has not accepted in her own mind that she's old. But she knows everybody thinks she's old. So she's not going to start telling people, stop calling me Bubby. On the other hand, every time somebody calls her Bubby, she's shocked. Like, you know, me, Bubby, I'm not a Bubby, I'm not, right? This is such a beautiful insight. There comes a point where she absorbs the fact, you know what, I'm really an old lady. So at that point, she's not Bosha. She doesn't have any personal reaction. But you can't equate those two stages. It starts with accepting the fact that people will call her this. Well, the fact is I am a grandma, you know, so what am I going to do? I don't feel like a grandma. But then the point comes where she says, oh, you know, I feel like a grandma. That's the nafkamina between the two approaches. Yes, sir.
This is the second time in the Masechta we've seen that the woman, you allow the woman to about her own body.
Yeah.
As opposed to her man.
What's the first time that you're talking about?
They were saying that that she can feel herself bleeding.
Margeshet batzma. Yeah, the whole din of Didas is that. That's the Gemara brings a raya. You see that we rely on a neid echad for the woman is nemanis on herself, even though she. Omri Shlokish, Vikama Onasar. When we say that she misses her period. Now, this is not to be confused with the concept of ona. It's funny, but the central words of the Masechta are used in different ways. So, veset is used in different ways. Veset normally means a period. And it also means, as we saw before, veset, instant. So, we had that if she was beidik herself, betok shiur veset. Right? Same thing, ona we had before is used, ona or ona yetera, 12 hours, half of the me'et le'et. But ona also means the length of the periodicity of the period. So what would be when you say a period that she missed three times, does that mean her period, or is it some absolute? Omer Shlokit Grum Reb Yudin Nesia, no, it means an absolute, which is an ona beinonit. A standard period, which would be 30 days. Rava Amr Chista Esrim Yom. No, it's 20 days. Actually, they're not arguing. It's just that the one who said, Reish Lakish, who said Shloshim Yom is including both the Yemei Tumah and the Yemei Tahorah. So out of those 30 days, you have 7 days that's set aside for Nidot, assuming that you'll see. And you have 3 days out of the 11 days that are needed in order to turn her into Zava Gedola. So those days that are affected directly by Tumah are 10 days out of the 30. So Mamela, he said 20. Now, Tosis doesn't like this shot. Tosis, what is that? What are we talking about? 3 days? Those are days of Tahara. If she was Raya, then she could become, as we don't call that, Yumei Tumah. So Tosis says, it appears that Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa of 23, not 20, is correct. And we take out the 7 days that is Miyuchat for Nidot, where even if she isn't Raya, the entire 7 days, she's going to be tummy the 7 days. So those are called Yumei Tumah. The 23 days that he was referring to was the days between the Tahira days as opposed to the Tumah days. What's that? I just explained to you, 7 plus 3 of the 11 days are Miyuchad for Zivas. So any 3 of those days would serve to confirm that she's a Zava Gedayla. Yeah, so you see why it's a weak trap. Tana Rabbana, Zikena she'avru aleha shalosh onot v'ra'ata. So now she's established that she's a Zikena. So she's postmenopausal, misses now 90 days of Re'iyah after having already established previously that she's a Zikena. And now she sees Dam again. Doesn't matter. That's the point. We said a Zikena that sees Dam is Dayashata. So she doesn't have to worry about anything within the past 24 hours, or Pekida L'Pekida. Now, how about if she misses again 90 days? And again, she's Roya. So, it's still Dayashata. But the moment that there's another gap of Shalashana's Varasa, now she has re-established a Ona, except it's a Ona of much slower periodicity. So now it's every 90 days we have to be Chayesh that she's going to see. And Areik Kol Anashim, Umitamami Eit La'Eit, Umipkir L'Pkia. And don't think, V'lo Shechivna, don't think that we mean that it was precisely 90 days. Elafilo Pichatava Hotira. Even if it went, let's say, 90 days, 91 days, 93 days, or it went 93 days, 90 days, 91 days, she's going backwards, she's going forwards in the period, that doesn't matter. It would still be enough to establish that she's being Roya. And she'd have to be Chayesh Me'et La'Eit. Yes, the Gemara, you make no sense. What do you mean, even if it was Pichata? You mean for sure if it was exactly the same, if she was Kivna? On the contrary, if she was mechavenet to exactly 90 days, so the first Mishnah said, "Kol isha sheyesh la veset dayashaita." So even if she would lose her status of a zekena, but she would gain a new status of an isha sheyesh la veset, because exactly every 90 days she's reyes, and she would not be metamel mafreya. So you made me crazy over here. You should have said only if she wasn't mechavenet, not even if she wasn't mechavenet. Adaraba, ki kivna kavala veset v'dayashata. Had she been mechavenet the 90 days, then it wouldn't have made sense. And maybe you'll try to tell me, no, it still makes sense, because according to the Rabbanan who argue in Rabbi Dosa, remember we ended up saying it's only Alibin Rabbi Dosa that a kol isha sheish laveset dayashata. But according to Chachamim, we don't say that it's enough to have a standard, to have a normal period to say dayashata. It still wouldn't make any sense, because still it should have said it the other way around. It should have said, even if she's mechavenet, it's still not going to be dayashaita, because we're going only with the chachamim. But not to say, even if she isn't mechavenet, you're not going to help by changing who said it, because then ibkam miboyle. It should have said it the other. It should have said, Vilema, lo shepichatav otir, don't think only if she was pichatav otir, el afilu kivna, even if she had an exact period, this, the Rabbanan hold, wouldn't change anything, because even an isha shigesh laveset is not dayashaita. Ooh, that's a problem. Okay, let's massage the gears a little bit. To me, the way to read this would be, lo shepichatav otir, not that she was pochet voter, afilo kivna. Don't think it would be only this case, even if she had been mechavenet. So in other words, it's going dafki, yeah, like Rabbi Dosa. Or, iboitem, you could read it like this, hachikama, velo shekivna, ela shepichatavit votira. Maybe that's the way to read it. Not that she had been, not lo mi boy shekivna. That's how we thought. Lo shekivna. Don't think it's only that case. No. That's not what it means. It means not in a case where she was kivna, but rather pichatava tira. But if she was kivna, so then it wouldn't matter, because anyway she was kovela veset, and it wouldn't matter if she's a kena or whether she's now a new isha shesh laveset, because in either case dayashaita. In which case we'd be going on libet Rabbi Tosa. Continues the mission to say, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, any woman, she does not have to be close to menopausal age. Any woman who has missed three periods, that's it. She is considered to be Mesulak Adomi until such time as she reestablishes that she's Roya. Tanya Marlem Rabbi Eliezer Lechachamim. Look, we all know the famous story of the luscious young girl, Maaseh Beribah Achat Behitlu, Shivsika Shalosh Onot. She wasn't Roya Dam for three Onot. They came to Lechachamim, Bo Maaseh Lechachamim, and they said, Daya Shaita. So what do you understand? This was a Psak Halacha by the Bezdin. Amrulo, you can't bring a riot from there. Ein sha'atat chak raya. Difficult circumstances cause different piske alochas. Well, what was the sha'atat chak over there? So some say, Yikini Amre, that the sha'atat chak was that it was a time where people were very malnourished, because it was not batzoret havi. So malnourishment certainly causes a breakdown in all of the normal hormonal things in the woman. And Ikede Amri, others say, no, it wasn't because the year was a Shasat Chag. It was because the Shaila was a Shasat Chag. That particular woman, her job was to be a Sukkah in Taharot. If we would have imitame her, Lama Freya, it would have caused immense problems to be Marba Tuma on Tyrus. And as we know, Choshe Rabbanan left set Taharot. So, okay, so they wanted to be samech on the fact that this particular woman had established that she wasn't Raya. But that doesn't mean that they would be samech on that under normal cases. Just like very often we say that if there's going to be a tremendous hefsed, it's hefsed merubah, we're going to be mekel. The same type of idea was hefsed merubah for Tyrus. Tana Rabbanan, we had this before, that once Rebbe ended up doing like Rebbe Eliezer, to consider a woman who was not old to be Misulekatomi because she had missed her period three times. Leachash and Iskar, and after he remembered, which of course we're going to ask in a moment, after he remembered what? Leachash and Iskar, he said, well, I'm not going to tell everybody I made a mistake. After all, Kedayu, Rebbe Eliezer, Lismochalav, Shatat Chak. I mean, this is, you know, it's a Shatat Chak. So, Shasat Chag being, of course, the fact that I already said it was kosher, so I don't want to go back and say it's not. Now, Miley Akash and Iskar, it says, after he remembered what? Elam, it doesn't mean Lakash and Iskar, Shaina Lachak Reb Eliezer, after he remembered that the halach is not like Reb Eliezer, Elak Rabbanan. So what do you mean? You can't b'shasat chak say, well, I paskin wrong, but you know, you don't expect me to tell everybody I paskin wrong. That's ridiculous. Of course he would have to say that he made a mistake. It's talking about over here that actually loit mayokata lokamar kamalokamar. There was no absolute psak like Rebbe Eliezer. So when it says Leachash and Iskar, it means Rebbe, his own das was neither like Rebbe Eliezer. Then he remembered that it's actually a Rabin that argues in Rebbe Eliezer. Moshitas were against Rebbe Eliezer. The normal Derech HaLacha is to pask like the Rabin, but it had never been paskin. So Leachash and Iskar, the Lav Yochit Pargas, wasn't just a question Rebbe Eliezer Shita versus, let's say, Rebbe Yehuda Shita. But it was Rabin that were Polagale. So then he said, okay, Lamaisa should have paskin like the Rabin. But, you know, it seemed to me that he was right. So I didn't do anything Shalok HaLocha. I'm not mechuyev to take back that psak. Next time I'll paskin like the Rabin. So Kedai Rebbe Eliezer Smokal Abishat HaTchak. Turn her up on it. We were speaking about a betulat damim. So she is actually, in this case, we're talking about a girl who is prepubescent and therefore should not be having a period. And she nonetheless was reyadam, very young. So she's 8 years old. She has a period. The first time is dayashaita. The second time that she's reyadam as a youngster, it's still dayashaita. But since we're going here, Aliba de Rebbe holds that a chazoka takes place after two times, by the time she sees the third time, she's now considered to be a woman who has a menses. And therefore, the shlishit arika kol anashim, she's batama mietli to mikido pekida, because we've already established with the first two times, well, that's it. Forget about her age. She's clearly getting her period early. Of ru'a lea shalosh anot verata, if she skips three period now and now sees the three periods have defined her as not being Raya, so there's Dayashaita. If another three periods she skips and she's Rata, it's still Dayashaita. If now she skips another Shalosh Ra'ah and has Verasa, then once again we say that she's got a new period, Arika Kol Anashim, Umetama Meita Eit, Umipkida Lipkida. Now that's all where it wasn't a giyazman alirot. Kishi giyazman alirot pam rishon adayashaita. If we're expecting her to get her period, so the first time that she has a nidais, there we're not machmer on her, because this is now establishing her to be ru'uya, to be raya. But the second time, at that point, she's like anybody else, and she's metame mietleit, umkida lepkida, overall shalosh anot verahata, then dayashaita. So obviously this is all going on Libra Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that you can view it as being misuleketamim, and in the same way that she's koveya the Re'iyah, she can also lose her Re'iyah, according to Rebbe Eliezer.